too. Check it out. Lamb chops are on sale for like 45 cents a pound.
Let's get
throwing.
It. Oh, hey, hey, hey. Totally welcome kidding. Back to MohawkRadio.com.
MohawkRadio.com show.
You're here with Casey and...
How's it going? Vince Mudd. And we're hanging around just getting some questions and answers for the very first program we're shooting for Mohawk Radio right now. And Rich, you've got the floor. You're the questioner.
Well, I appreciate it.
Let's get some Q&A here.
You know, off the very first part, I couldn't stop you guys. You guys just had an awesome flow, and I was just learning so much. But I wanted to get back. You said that you just got signed with Suburban Noise, and you know, my understanding is they're like a hip hop label, right? Why did you guys decide to sign with them?
Well, I've known Brad X, you know, and Lewis, the drummer, ever since they were in Doggy Style. They grew up in the same kind of neighborhood. We're Social Distortion, the Adolescents, and D.I., and all the very first bands in Orange County started. So I've known Brad for so many years, and he has kept his underground kind of anti-governmental ethic alive through their hip-hop.
Music terrorists.
And they're kind of like half rock, half hip-hop. So they got this really weird underground vibe and really good at distribution. So we didn't want to jump on a giant punk label. We wanted to jump on somebody that was really making some sense to the government, to the political basis of the points they were trying to make about unjust laws and regulations in our country. And we thought that was a great way to merge, because
you have to be active in actually what you believe in. And like, it's kind of weird, but like, I mean, sure, punk rock people are, but they're so just underground. And the thing is, like
too underground,
said, these people way underground. And the thing is like this label that D.I.'s new album's going on, Suburban Noise, it's just going to be like,
it's going to be a great thing.
It's going to be worldwide. It's going to be available. It's going to be out there for everyone to check out. The new album on the Western Front.
On the Western Front.
I personally like it.
It's going to be a great, great, great CD, because it really just tells the truth about a lot of the problems in society that really need to be addressed. And now that we have the floor and the format to be able to like express ourselves like role models.
Suburban Noise, yeah.
We're on Suburban Noise to just get our point across. And I really trust Suburban Noise.
That's the big factor, too. I mean, those guys are
who can you trust in the world nowadays?
Nobody.
You can't really trust anybody.
I don't trust myself.
I don't trust myself either. You know, I'm so broke I can't pay attention. But you know what?
We have fish. We can't even have pets.
You have fish and faith.
Lots of faith.
I thought Vince really had a good point. We were talking off camera the other day, and he had pointed up, well, so what if they sign with like a Fat Records or something like that, you know?
Well,
so
Fat's
and
like
I thought that was a really
Fat
good point. Like,
Love
so
Fat
you're
Mike.
Just another punk rock record on a punk rock label.
Yeah, exactly. You know? We wanted to kind of like just pull it together with like, you know, like a good basis for I'm not really quite sure. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyway, you know, I have ADHD also. But anyway, I wanted to get back to one thing that you talked about earlier was Social D and the naming of Social D.
Right.
And I want to know how that all happened. What was the first band you were in, too, if that somehow can tie in?
Well, the first band was Social Distortion. And me and Mike were just, like, going to school in Fullerton, like, in the late 70s. And we just put the band together. I actually did make up the name. I was taking a sociology class, and the definition of sociology is the interaction of different cultures. And punk rock was an intervention of an intense socialization of a different culture coming into music. So that was the sociological, social part. Distortion, we played the distortion pedals, because we couldn't play. We were like the Germs in like 81, just couldn't play at all. And we were just like, put distortion pedals on.
It makes like one chord just turns into monster
tone. It sounds all full. Oh, you know, we're a punk band, you know, we're just kids. So Social
just
Distortion.
Just a couple bunch of punks, actually, at that point. A
couple punks at that point, just me and Ness were actually
but
the
first
two.
But not even a punk band, just a couple of punks.
So were you playing drums in
I was playing drums in my bedroom at my parents' house in Fullerton. Mike was in like 8th grade. I was a sophomore in high school at Troy, Fullerton. And, we just kept on playing. He's playing guitar and I was singing. He was singing a little bit.
So when did you go to the
merged.
Adolescents? If that's when Social Distortion was going on, when did you go to Adolescents after that?
Well, Mike and I broke up the Social Distortion project.
Like you guys were dating or something?
No, well, actually, that's a whole different story. Even though I've never been gay once.
I'm tied the knot, man.
Never been gay. Tried to be gay once. Didn't have it in me.
Oh, that's a good one.
Thank you. But so Ness and I went different directions. I went into the Adolescents, playing drums with the Adolescents. Mike started a band called the Orange County Dustbin with a couple other characters or friends, Joey Manforte and a guy named John Carrot.
Hey, didn't you go over to the Adolescents with
Rick Effing?
With Rick,
Rick,
and Rick. Let's jump ship.
We're jumping ship right now. Me and Rick jumped ship because Mike was a little too punk, you know, came from a little dysfunctional family.
Well, you got to give it to him. He still hasn't let that ship go down.
I love
it. Hey, listen, the ship goes down with the captain, right?
The ship goes down everywhere.
No, not the ship. Oh, the ship goes down with the captain.
The captain has to go down with the ship. Okay, well.
So, then there's the adolescence. And then, so like the breakoff from adolescence to DI, did you take Rick with you on that too?
Check this one out, Vince. When I was in social, when I was in the adolescence, we used to practice in Pomona. When we used to live there for
Pomona
like,
is pretty much a hole. I've
Pomona
been there before.
Is like the IE, dry, drugs, horrible place.
Is but, it that way?
I ended up making up DI starting by playing the adolescence instruments that they stored at my house where we practiced there.
Okay.
An underground thing.
Oh, nice. Nice how you have, so like, you can leave all the instruments here and I'll just have, like, this band story when no one knows.
We're bantering about the band story. We're banditry.
Look at me, I'm in the adolescence, but this is me. I'm a different band.
Yeah, we're writing songs. They're early DI songs.
Playing different people's instruments. That's the best.
Yep.
Did you ever, like, pick up someone else's bass guitar and say, look at me, I'm
Steve
someone else?
Soto.
Look at me, I'm Steve Soto.
Look at me, I'm half of Steve. I'm half of Steve Soto. No, totally kidding.
And you're on a microphone. Look at me, I'm Tony.
It's a great thing. And check this out. This one abnormality about this certain place we played, where I was playing, you know, DI songs and the adolescence equipment because they left it there. Christian Death, which Rick Agnew was also in at that point, practiced at the same place.
Like,
the evilest guys that were in the our pad. Playing evil stuff, creepy, like, you know, gay, weird shit.
There was something to do with the dead cats.
The dead, crazy humping cats. Oh, yeah, one time there was an art show. No, the art show of 1979. One time, the singer of Christian Death, or his boyfriend, Ron, humped a dead cat's throat with his head off.
Really?
Absolutely.
Did he use a condom?
I hope so, Vince, but you know, at that point, his wiener's been pretty much tortured.
Feline AIDS.
But that was way back.
It's an epidemic.
That was a strange thing. I don't know
if you guys know this. Everyone has a cause in their life. We're against feline AIDS.
Feline AIDS. It's a horrible epidemic in Africa.
It's like free the world, free the kitty AIDS.
Free the cat AIDS.
You actually have a charity for that, don't you?
If you want to send a donation, it's 2301 West Balboa Boulevard, Newport Beach, 1963.
Do you know why?
Care of kitty AIDS.
Do you know why they can't cure AIDS? They haven't been able to get laboratory rats to butt fuck.
What a bunch of dirty rats.
I know, so bad.
So anyways, okay, so then we have DI.
What was the guy's name who owns this station?
Mike Myers.
Rich.
Oh, Rich.
Rich. Rich.
I appreciate you guys coming back. I didn't want to mess up the flow.
There you are.
Guys, this is the easiest interview I've ever had.
I think
you
just raided the refrigerator.
No, this is. I've already had like 3 beers. This is great. I could just leave it on autopilot. And you guys got to
handle.
Punk
is easy.
And this is what I was counting on. And this is what you're going to get every week with Casey and Vince.
We'll be here for you guys. Really, if you need us to be.
Mohawk Rudy is so lucky to have these guys. They have Pure Records and DI, and I just can't say thank you enough. But we're not leaving yet. But we are going to go to a break for a second. We have a pee break, beer break, and other stuff.
Cool. It's all good.
Don't go anywhere. Casey and Vince will be right back.
Oh, I got some great things to tell you. Oh.
Don't go anywhere. You already heard it. You got the teaser.
Tell them that one thing about it.
Wait, we gotta go.
We'll be right back, everyone.
Be right back, you guys.
Thanks for watching.